This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Like most car buyers, you want to get the most for your money. That's why more Mazda buyers choose Ramsey Mazda. Get impressive offers on a new Mazda CX-30 or a Mazda CX-5 starting at just $29,276. Over 1,000 new Mazda vehicles to choose from. Visit RamseyMazda.com. Get the most for your money at Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda.
I recently found out that you can see a personal dietitian covered by insurance. There's this platform called Nourish that will match you with a dietitian based on whatever your concerns are, whether that's weight loss, eating disorders, autoimmune conditions, or something else. They're actually a network with major insurance providers, so most patients pay $0 out of pocket. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
We're here with Jeff Caggiano, the mayor of Bristol, in studio. How are you, sir? Things are good?
Yeah, things are good.
Are they, though?
Well, you know, I think generally things are good, but budget season is going to be tough for everybody this year.
Yeah, so, you know, there's been stuff written. We had Runan Arulampalam. He said that was one of those things. You guys talk.
Yeah,
it's not R or D. You guys have the same challenges, right?
Yeah, everybody. And, you know, it's kind of neat because 3 years into this now as mayor, all mayors are friends. We all have the same problems.
You're not competing with each other, really? I mean, obviously.
We do, and poor Runan unfortunately lost a big, large business to our town. We have Express Kitchens coming to Bristol, but these things go back and forth. But, you know, we have three main functions, right? We worry about public education, we worry about public safety, and we worry about public infrastructure, really roads and things like that. We don't get into social issues. We don't deal with that. It's pretty straightforward. So we all have the same problems.
So we have about a minute here, and then I want to get into the budget issues. Do you know for a fact that you have to raise property taxes in the next budget in Bristol?
Yeah, it definitely looks that way. We will adopt our April 22nd. We'll adopt the budget through the Board of Finance, who really controls our finances in the city, right? We have a very strong Board of Finance, and we're looking at a small mill rate increase right now. Without a reval, that's a tax increase.
So, and that keeps you up at night.
Oh, definitely. No doubt. I certainly have lost sleep over the last couple of months, and this is a very long process. But when we come back, we'll talk about all the headwinds. There's a lot of stuff that's out of our control, yeah. And I don't want to sound like a complainer and a baby, but all us mayors are dealing with the same
thing. Yeah, I mean, I think the key is the why. Like, why are you dealing with it? And we, you know, yesterday at the Capitol, you know, there's tension within the Democratic Party about what to do with the guardrails and the surplus. And some people think it is raining out and others think it's just cloudy out, if you want to use the rainy day fund metaphor. And we'll ask you as well whether you think it's raining or not. And so we'll put all of that to Mayor Jeff Caggiano. We're back with Bristol Mayor Jeff Caggiano here on Bryan & Company. And so we talked earlier in the show about how Speaker Ritter wants to suspend the guardrails to make sure the state has enough money to, whether it's the cuts in Medicaid that are expected, or who knows what money that is expected usually won't come at the state. And then there's a trickle down that trickles down to you and all the 169 cities and towns in Connecticut. So, and then we have this $4+ billion rainy day fund. So I guess I'll start a little more in the macro. Yeah. Like, if you were at the state level or if you were governor, is it raining? Is it a time to do something with the rainy day fund or not?
Yeah, well, slight difference, and I'll just take what you said, is rainy day fund. I'm not sure that they're actually talking about spending down rainy day funds.
No, they're saying they take some of the surplus or change the guardrails, but essentially that's what it is. And what would you mean? If it's a couple hundred million, you're going to have to do something.
Yeah. You know, I think you have to take responsibility for where we stand. And I do believe, you know, so my brain tells me I don't want to loosen the fiscal guardrails because the state of Connecticut had moved in the right direction. But ultimately, they are not fully funding things like special education, which are mandates to the cities, so they should allocate
funds. So the state, in your opinion, is obligated to fill whatever gap is left by a reduction in federal funding?
Well, this hasn't trickled down to federal funding from what I understand yet, right? That's still to be determined.
Correct.
But right now on the state level, and we just look at special education costs over the last 3 or 4 years while I've been mayor, is they haven't even kept up with the rate of inflation, never mind the increases in special education costs that we see for two main reasons. One is that we have more kids being identified. COVID had definitely created a delay syndrome in a lot of these kids, and the costs themselves have risen dramatically. So if we send kids out of district, we have huge cost increase. I mean, we have 11 kids that are costing the city about $2.1 million to provide services that the state mandates, and they don't reimburse us back for those costs.
Put the special ed aside. I mean, I'm assuming that there will be cuts to Medicaid and so on, that there'll be a bigger hole to fill. So my question is, should the state make sure that those are all taken care of?
This is literally the balance that we look at on the city level as well, too, is, you know, a small increase this year in taxes are likely, as we talked about, but that's so that we could build for the future and fill our contingency and rainy day funds. So the city of Bristol carries anywhere from a 12 to 15% fund balance or contingency or rainy day fund. Unfortunately, we're going to spend that down probably below where we want to be. But this is two successive years of way, we'll call it underfunding. I'll be nice to the Board of Ed, but they also have overspent their budget quite a bit. So that's the balance. There's not a direct answer to this because every city and town is in a slightly different position and the state is in a different position.
Well, I mean, I think it's safe to assume that there's a good chance that you'll have less money this year and have less money next year than you had this year.
Yep.
And if we go into a recession, it could be even more acute than that.
Exactly.
So what, I mean, and your point is ultimately if your rainy day fund is going to be gone, you might end up having to raise taxes again in the next budget cycle.
So our Board of Finance, which is made up of seven—
Can you cut spending anywhere?
We have cut spending. We've cut quite a bit of spending. Since I've been mayor, we've actually pretty been flat funded. We haven't created new positions on the city side. Unfortunately, this will be the second successive year in a row where the Board of Education has been overspent. And last year, that turned out to be $3.4 million, which wasn't anticipated, right? They overspend that by state law. We have to take money out of our rainy day fund, give them the money for that previous year. That resets their budget, by the way. That's where they are. So they got a $3.4 million raise.
If they overspend, then automatically goes up for their next budget?
That's called minimum budget requirement.
So is this a special ed issue, or do they overspend on purpose to make sure their budget goes up?
I will be nice and say I think it's a combination of both. But I'll put it more on the special ed side. So this year, we are proposing a $6.6 million increase in education. Largest increase that we've seen probably in 10 years for the Board of Ed. That's a 5% increase to our Board of Ed. But we're doing that in the face of them reporting to us just this past week that they're $7.3 million over budget this year. A lot of their over budget situation is due to what we kind of calculate is about a $6 million deficit in special ed over the last couple of years. Now, I want to quickly say this too, that COVID funding has also created this big problem, right? So the Board of Education was given $18 million of ESSER, ARP money, American Rescue Plan money. They spent, you know, $7 or $8 million on one-time capital projects, which they should have. But quite honestly, over the past couple of years, they've spent somewhere in the neighborhood of $5 to $8 million on people, benefits, and salaries that are ongoing costs, creating a budget hole. So this is why it's a dual effect for them. But $11 million out of our rainy day fund just to carry the day.
We're talking with Jeff Caggiano, who's the mayor of the city of Bristol. So, I mean, 2 years ago, there's two questions. One is, how surprised...
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy.
So are you based on where you were 2 years ago or a year and a half ago? Because you could not have seen this coming, right?
Not fully, but again, that's what I love about the city of Bristol. In 1911, when we were going bankrupt, we created the Board of Finance, which is seven citizens that are not paid, that sit with the mayor. The mayor's the only elected official on that board. They have two more votes than our city council, and they are the ones that are guiding us through this. So we have been, fiscally conservative. We are a very fiscally conservative city. So we have contingency funds. We've been working this out. Yes, we're going
to
come.
So there's some found money to be found in a pinch? Is that what you're telling me? Like every other agency in place? We have this money. It was collecting interest and blah, blah, blah. And now this money was over here in this bucket.
We don't have any of that. It's just that we are bound by the way the Board of Finance wants to work. So that's where we're in between. I think you're going to find, and the citizens of Bristol that are going to be upset that they get a tax raise, just like me, are going to have to look and say, where do we fit in the scale of things? I think Wallingford is talking about a 19% yes. tax increase. Mm-hmm. We have New Britain that's probably lowering the mill rate slightly and pretty much being flat, but they can say they're lowering taxes. The average is going to be somewhere in that 3-6% range from what I'm seeing. And I think the headwinds that everybody is seeing, most of it passed down from policy decisions that the state made. And if I have some time, I want to talk a little bit about the motor vehicle tax in the state. This is one that people don't talk about. Most people don't pay attention to. The city of Bristol brings about $16.5 million of revenue in from the motor vehicle tax. That is something that is state mandated, right? Most states don't even have a motor vehicle tax.
We shouldn't have one.
I would agree. But in last year's legislative session, they enacted a new valuation for motor vehicles. They went to MSRP with a straight line deduction. In that revaluation, initially, the city lost $2.5 million worth of revenue. That's just Bristol specific. But across the board, it was about a 14% reduction across all cities and towns. I can pretty safely say that if you own a car in the state of Connecticut, you're going to see a tax reduction on your car. All that really does is shift the burden onto homeowners because the city's still got to pay all of its laborers. It's got to pay,
They shouldn't be. It's too bad they're reliant on that. That I think the car tax, you pay a tax when you buy the car. I just can't stand it. But we don't have time for that. What I want to ask you is, we've talked about your downtown and all the good things going on. Do any of these headwinds impact your approach to growth in the city of Bristol?
No, and that's the good news.
No projects are getting canceled or shelved or delayed?
No, we have two new projects that should come online pretty quickly as well in the general downtown area. And I think that's the good news that I tell the people of Bristol, and I'm going to get beat up by a lot of my friends to say, what are you raising taxes for? Is we want to stay stable. This is what the Board of Finance is doing, and we don't want to go too dramatic in cuts because we have a mill rate that will still remain on or around the motor vehicle cap. There's a whole other thing we could talk about, right? The state mandates your cap on your motor vehicles, even though we have no control over those taxes. And our growth will be such that, quite honestly, whoever the next mayor is, as you know, I'm running one more term, but even if I were to do my full 8 years, in 3 to 5 years from now, That's when cities realize the real grand list growth. And the other little dirty secret about all of this for every city and town, which is why it's different in certain cities, is your revaluation. Every 5 years, the state mandates that you have to revalue all the property. That could dramatically impact the whole tax picture.
He's Jeff Gagiano. He's the mayor of Bristol. By the way, it's a Bristol hour. I'm dedicating the whole hour to Bristol.
Love it.
Jay Maya is coming in from the Bristol Boys and Girls Club, so you might want to stick around and say hello.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.